The epistle that is appointed to be read for the feast of the Sacred Heart is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, to me, the least of all the saints, is given this grace, to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to enlighten all men that they may see what is the dispensation of the mystery which hath been hidden from eternity in God, who created all things, that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places through the church, according to the eternal purpose, which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. For this cause I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all paternity in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit with might unto the inward man, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know also the charity of Christ, which surpasseth all knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. And the Holy Gospel. It's a gospel taken from St. John, chapter 19, verses 31 through 37. At that time, the Jews, because it was the Parashiv, that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that was a great Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came, and they broke the legs of the first and the other that was crucified with him. But after they were come to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he that saw it hath given testimony, and his testimony is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you may also believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled, you shall not break a bone of him. And another scripture saith, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. That you may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know also the charity of Christ, which surpasseth all knowledge. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Among the many feasts which the Church celebrates each year, there are very few that were instituted as a result of a direct request from our Lord himself. The feast that we celebrate today, the Feast of the Sacred Heart, is one of those feasts. The request was made by our Lord through St. Margaret Mary. And our Lord specified that he wanted the Feast of his Sacred Heart to be celebrated on the Friday following the octave of Corpus Christi, that is, the 8 days after the celebration of the body of Christ. Well, yesterday was that octave day. Today is that Friday in which we celebrate the Feast of the Sacred Heart. The object of this devotion, this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is a heart is to be worshipped, a heart which is the very heart of God. Pope Pius VI declared, "The heart of Jesus is not separated or dissolved from the Godhead, but it is rather adored, the very heart of the person of the Word of God, with which it is inseparably united." It was Pope Pius IX who extended the Feast of the Sacred Heart to the Universal Church. And in 1928, it was Pius XI that made it a feast with the rank of the double of the first class with its own octave. And Pius XI wrote about the devotion to the Sacred Heart in two encyclicals, the one in 1928, of which he commanded that in every parish church throughout the entire world, after the principal mass of the day, as we will have tonight, there will be the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and the prayer for the reparation of the damages that are done to the Sacred Heart by the majority of men. And we will comply with that command of Pius XI, after Mass today. He also wrote another encyclical, Caritate Christi, in 1932. The Vicar of Christ on earth, Pope Pius XI, declared that the purpose of the devotion of the Sacred Heart, was to make a return of love to Jesus Christ, to imitate the virtues of the Sacred Heart, and to move men to make reparation to the heart of Jesus for all the insults suffered at the hands of men. The object of the devotion to the Sacred Heart is threefold object. The immediate object that we have is the devotion to the actual physical heart of Christ. There's sometimes spoken of the material object of the devotion. The physical heart of Christ, which beats in his breast and causes the precious blood to go through his veins, is a human heart. It is a human heart just as our human hearts. But it is the human heart of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. It is the physical heart of the eternal Son of God. Therefore, it is to be worshipped as his heart. Well, the other object of the devotion, the formal object, if you will, is the infinite perfection and the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. St. Paul spoke about it today in today's epistle, that you may be able to comprehend the charity of Christ that surpasseth all knowledge. And theologians speak of another object, and that is the entire object, they say. And that is the entire object of the Sacred Heart, is the devotion to the incarnate Word of God, our Lord, our Redeemer, and our God, the eternal Son of God. And as the Son of Man, or as we would say, as the Son of Mary. So the Sacred Heart is a perfect symbol of our Lord's love for us. And it is a perfect symbol of God himself. Because as St. John says, God is love. He doesn't possess love. It's not part of his attributes. St. John says he is charity. He is love. And the Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And the Son so loved us that he laid down his life for us. The heart of Jesus Christ is a burning furnace of charity. It is the temple of God. It is all goodness and love and patience, abounding in mercy. St. Margaret Mary, our Lord, showed his heart and he said, "Here is the heart that has so loved men." And then he made a request. He made a plea, actually. "You, at least, show some return to me." To us, he says the very same thing. He shows us his heart, and he begs. He begs for our love. For love of us, God became a man. He took a human heart. For love of us, he died on the cross. And now from the tabernacle, his heart beats and pleads for a return of love. Our Lord asked from the tabernacle, "Will you not give to me some alms, the alms of your heart? Do you not know that my treasure is your love? And I beg of you to supply me these riches," he says. In the offertory of today's Mass, we find a divine complaint. They are the words of our Lord spoken through the mouth of David the prophet, and they are the pleadings of the Sacred Heart. In the offertory verse that we will soon pray at the Mass, our Lord says, "My heart hath expected reproach and misery, and I looked for one that would grieve together with me, but there was none. I looked for one who would comfort me, and I found none." We, my dear faithful, should respond in full measure to the plea of the Sacred Heart. We are the ones who should return love for love and kindness for kindness. How often the kindness has been shown to us by the heart of God Himself. And that is a very special reason that we should show this. Not only does the devotion sum up, as it were, all the other devotions contained in them, it is a devotion that will, with all the means that be, the conversion of countless souls. The souls even of our own family members. Even our own soul, if our soul needs to be converted. It is the devotion then reserved for our times, because it is a devotion when the hearts of men will grow cold. And how cold have the hearts of men grown today? Men live today as there is no God. Men live today not immorally. Men live today amorally. That is, without morals, because they live as if there were no God. And the hearts of men have become cold. How is it that those hearts are to be set on fire? The only thing that can do it, the only fire that is equal to the task, is the fire that burns in the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. It can conquer all. It can conquer the coldness of the hearts of men, and especially it can conquer the coldness of our own hearts. It was through the Blessed Virgin Mary that Our Lady came into this world. And it is through the heart of Christ, from the Blessed Mother, that men's hearts again will be set ablaze with divine love. When our Lord first came into this world, Our Lady took Him into her arms. She held Him close. And as a little tiny infant, our God, for the very first time as a man, heard the beatings of a human heart. We hear about the heart of Christ. We learn about the beatings of the Sacred Heart and love for us. And our Lord wants to hear hearts that are beating in love for Him. He heard the Blessed Mother and her love for Him and beating in her heart. The same Sacred Heart that has manifested His love to us expects love in return. And yet when He hears the beatings of our heart, does He hear the beatings of love for Him? Or does He hear the beatings of the heart of love for us? A love for self. A love for the world. When we consider that our God, who is truly here present in the altar, in the tabernacle, silently waiting for the beatings of our hearts, how can we not love? Little seven-year-olds can tell us. We are to know and to love and serve God in this world. He pleads for us. In fact, St. Alphonsus says it would be a great privilege if God permitted us to love Him. But St. Alphonsus continues and he said, God does not only permit us to love Him, He commands it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart. God will not have a divided heart. We are to love Him above all things, including self. When our Lord hung upon the cross, He said, I thirst. Imagine in your mind Christ on the cross, thirsting for your love. He's dying on the cross. And who is there that can be so cold-hearted that would not give to a man who's dying a refreshing taste to slake his thirst? Our Lord said, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, but what will I but that it be enkindled? It is the fire of love. My dear faithful, it is to our time. It is to our time when the hearts of men have grown cold that the fullness of the love has been manifested in this great devotion of the Sacred Heart. And so in this time of the celebration of the Feast of the Sacred Heart, as you have come here tonight and received rich blessings from Almighty God, because you are here in your devotion to Him, rejoice in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make reparation for the insults to the Sacred Heart by the majority of mankind, and have great consolation. For the Sacred Heart is our hope. The Sacred Heart is our only hope in the times in which we find ourselves. And to the extent that we ourselves, because of our devotion, may know the heart of Christ, we may be able to in some way comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the charity of Christ which surpasseth all knowledge. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.